This episode of TMS is brought to you by our friends at Squarespace at squarespace.com. Make a great responsive web design that works on mobile, desktop, and more. Sell stuff. Make your voice known. Make the internet a better place. Save 10% on your account by using the code FROGPANTS at checkout. Use the free trial first. Put them to the test. We love Squarespace and so will you. That's squarespace.com and the offer code MORNING. And by HelloFresh.com, where right now you can get 3 free meals by using the code MORNINGSTREAM at checkout at HelloFresh.com. And by Tweaked Audio at TweakedAudio.com, the best earbuds money can buy, the best warranty anywhere. Lifetime. Use the code MORNING at checkout for 33% off at TweakedAudio.com. Now, on to the show. Coming up on TMS, Feeling 21.
Dentists.
Furious 7 did good.
George R.R. doing something else.
Nice. David Lynch is out.
Play-Doh, the movie.
Major spoilers.
V for video games.
We hope. Your voicemails and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Today's secret ingredient is...
scallop! Mushrooms!
Crab!
Cheese! Squash!
Duck! Catfish!
Potatoes!
Buffalo!
Chocolate!
Coconut!
Pizza dough!
Hamburger! I hate duds.
I can't believe you made me say that! This is The Morning Stream.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to TMS, The Morning Stream. It's good to be back. We're here. We're doing it. Brian Ibbett over there. How you doing?
Yes, hello.
How was your weekend, man?
It was really good. Really nice. Had some beautiful weather here. Spent some time with the family. Recorded a couple shows.
Yeah, it sounds all right.
Played a lot of Hearthstone.
Yeah. Oh, look at you back all into Hearthstone now.
Yeah, here's the thing. It's like I pick a game and I kind of just really focus on achieving a certain thing in that game. Mm. And don't worry, I'm not done with Battle Pets and I'm certainly not done with Heroes of the Storm. Battle Pets, I'll probably need to come back to pretty soon because my goal in that is the Celestial Tournament.
Yeah.
Once I beat the Celestial Tournament, bam, done, okay.
Any chance to get back on that shitball island is a good day indeed.
I know, exactly. It's like... oh, maybe I take a break before I head back to the Isle of Thunder or Isle of, what was it? Was it
the Isle of Thunder, I think.
Yeah.
Is that it? Wait. Thunder Isle.
There
was no.
There was the other Isle as well that had the...
crap. Pandaria, Isle of...
Isle of Giants was the other one, is that right?
Island... oh, it's going to irritate me to no end if I don't know the name of this.
It is the Isle of Thunder.
Timeless Isle.
Timeless, that's the other thing. Timeless Isle is the other one where you had the...
that's where your Celestial Tournament is. Timeless,
oh, really?
Isle. Oh, yeah. It's that big courtyard thing.
The Isle of Thunder.
No. It's that big courtyard with the whenever you walk by it, there's always some like giant creature out there.
Yeah. That's not the Isle of Thunder.
No, that is your Timeless Isle. That is your place we thought was rad for about a week and then hated forever.
Oh, okay.
But for you, yeah, for right. doing that's a good reason to go out there though. That's fine.
Isle of Thunder is the one. See, it's funny. I do have a map still on my bulletin board for some reason of the Isle of Thunder, where you had all of the, that's where you had the key chamber that you ran around in there and got as much stuff as possible, collect as many chests.
The little chests and gold and all that. And then somebody put up the, what was that, the map tips mod that told you where everything was.
Oh, yeah, right. Like Handy Notes would tell you. That's actually what I've got is the Handy Notes with all of the spawns for all the different creatures that you needed to kill on there.
Wei Shen's chamber pot. That was always a good one.
His palace. So we've got the Celestial Tournament. Now I'm on Hearthstone. I just want to complete at least normal mode, the Naxxramas expansion, or Naxxramas.
Yeah.
And then I'll jump into Heroes of the Storm. The cool thing about Heroes of the Storm and Hearthstone is that I can play it really easily when I'm traveling on the laptop.
Yeah. Just jump in, jump out. Yeah, no problem. Well, in fact, it's one of the areas that they've maybe lacked in where there isn't a you know, previous to this, Blizzard didn't really have a game where you had something you could just do quickly. Now they've got multiple games where you can do stuff fast.
Exactly. Get in, get out, yeah. Casual player, yep. Boom.
That's great. That's awesome. I'm kind of rekindled on the whole Hearthstone thing, too, because on the NVIDIA stream over the weekend, Dills came in there. I know you heard some of that.
Uh-huh.
And set me up a badass freaking Hunter deck that I'm actually winning with, so...
Cool. Is it a menagerie deck? What's the hunter? What's the cool hunter trend right now?
He's calling this one an aggro deck. Essentially, it's just go, 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 shoot, 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 kill
hit
that
to
freaking,
the face, yeah, hit to the face, hit to the
as
face.
As often as you can, yeah. Like, yeah. It's a viable deck. A lot of people don't like him because they think they're cheap, but whatever. Mm-hmm. If it's my way in, then it's my way in, I say.
Sure.
But there's lots of them, man. There's so many decks. They all have a billion names. That's why that whole thing is so perplexing to me. It's just like, oh my gosh, where do you even begin? Well, he came in and gave me a place to begin.
Nice.
And it felt really good. And I began, you know, multiple times. This isn't my first time to the rodeo. I just give up. I just suck. But now, you know, I won like 4 out of 5 games the other day. So
very nice. Yeah, prior to this week, or last week, I should say, I had maybe played 3 games since BlizzCon. Mm. Wow. And I was playing a lot of Gnomes versus Goblins with Mark and Nicole and Tristan, sure, and everybody there, and just having a blast with that. And then watching, you know, with you and Tom hanging out and watching the championships, mm-hmm, which were great.
That was way fun. Can't wait to do that again. That'll be good.
Yeah, that is something I'm looking forward to.
I'm bringing my kids. Have I mentioned that? My kids are going this year to BlizzCon with us. We're taking Carter and Nick, and they're stoked about it. Nick is he's a little budding Hearthstone player, so he's got all kinds of desires to watch that live tournament stuff. And
awesome.
Should be a lot of fun.
Tristan wants to go again, and, you know, me and Tom and Tristan will be hanging out doing the F5 to try and buy tickets on the day they go on sale. So yeah,
I always have this. That's the other thing. I got to do that this time for the kids. Oh, crap.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about that. But yeah, well, but then it's always.
Nicole and Mark aren't going. We do have one slot for our 4-pack that we always try and get 4.
Yeah.
So
that's true. As you get closer to the time, this is what happens to me. I'm supposed to get press access every year, right? And I always have. It's no problem. Mm-hmm. Get it for the instance expected. But they always, those guys always wait until like 3 days before the event.
Right.
And it scares the hell out of me because I've, you know, hotel is paid for, flights are happening, everything's happening, and there's nothing I can do to get out of it. And if suddenly it was like, this year we're not giving press, there'd be nothing I could do about it. I just have to like hope somebody will let me borrow their pass for the day or whatever. But anyway, it'll all work out. All right. I want to give a quick thanks to somebody. Speaking of tickets, Anthony Feliciano. I hope I'm saying that last name right. Donated a ticket to Nerdtacular. He bought one, couldn't use it, didn't want to see it go to waste. Aww. And donated it for somebody to win. And we have a winner for said ticket. And that winner is Eric M. And he's going to Nerdtacular because of the generosity of Anthony Feliciano.
Very cool. Congratulations, so, Eric M. And sorry, Anthony Feliciano. We'll catch up with you in 2016,
yeah, we'd love
brother.
We'd always like to see you. So if we see you somewhere else, that'd be great, buddy. Anyway, super nice. So I just wanted to give him a little shout out. Also, happy birthday to my daughter. She turned 21 yesterday.
Yay.
She can now legally do things.
Vote. Well, she could have done that at 18.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
She can be tried as an adult. That was 18
also. 18 also, yeah. She can get insurance. Oh, that's 25.
What is it that she can do at 21?
Well, see, 25 is insurance, right? That's all insurance time. 25.
She can rent a car at 25 as well.
Yeah, we can rent a car at 25, so she's still in between that. 21, if I could just think of the things that if she wanted to, she could do. I asked her the other day, I said, so are you tempted? Do you want to just go to Vegas? Like, what do you want to do? She goes, well, she wants to go to Vegas so she gets carded all the time. She thinks that sounds like fun because she wants to, because she looks very young. She doesn't look 21. There's no way that she won't get carded. So she'd get carded constantly by people just checking on her in the casino. So that's one thing. And I said, well, what do you want to do over there? She goes, I might throw a few nickels in the thing or quarter. I'm like, I don't think they have nickels anymore, babe. I think it's all quarters or higher or credit cards.
Technically, it's pennies. I mean, they have penny slots, but
that's true.
But one spin is like 150 pennies.
Yeah. Yeah. It's terrible, that whole idea. I miss the, you know, you got to go to like Wendover or freaking Mesquite to get the old school.
Oh, Mesquite, yeah. Well, they have the, you know, you go downtown and they've even got the machines that actually drop coins.
Oh, right.
From the unit itself. So it's like ting, 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 ting.
Old days, man.
Yes, and then they've got the wet wipes right next to it because who knows what the other person was touching before they picked up all that money.
Yep, don't let that fool you. There was some dirty hobo there 5 minutes before you got exactly. there. Anyway, and I said, well, what about, she goes, Dad, I don't want a drink. I'm fine. I said, oh, okay. No, I'm not trying to say anything. You're 21. You're an adult. You can do whatever you want. Dad, stop it. Everything's fine. Anyway,
Does her husband drink or is he?
Nope, they are they're drinkless. They're dry. Dry as a bone, those two.
Wow.
And so, she's not all that interested in any of that, but she is happy to be 21. For some reason, 20 was a huge deal for her. She felt like that was a giant life moment. And I said, well, how do you feel about 21? Because in the eyes of the law, it's a bigger life moment. And she said, nah. Right. She goes, it's kind of dumb.
Yeah, it's, you know what? When you're a non-drinker, non-gambler, 20, because you're moving into a new number, like a new starting digit. Mm-hmm. Yeah. it is a bigger thing than 21 would be for somebody who doesn't do those things.
It's really weird. But anyway, she's happy and doing great and everything's great. She had a great birthday yesterday. We had a fun time. Hope everyone had a nice Easter. I guess that's it. I don't have anything else. It's all just like, hey, what's going on, everybody? Good weekend? Had some fun? Oh, Film Sack this weekend was fantastic. Oh,
that was a blast.
Terrible movie.
The
great
movie
time.
Was unpleasant and not fun to watch, but the Film Sack always makes a bad movie better.
I agree with that. Those are it's a fair point to make. Let's get Daryl in here.
Scorcher was the movie, people. And the only reason we'd recommend you see it is for Film Sack. Otherwise, stay as far away from that piece of poo as possible.
Yeah, here's a taste right here. Okay, there's one. How about this?
By someone who gives a shit.
Yeah.
Ding, ding. Round one to Volcano Girl.
Oh, my gosh.
Volcano Girl.
That's great. All right, what are we doing here? Oh, yeah, I've got this.
She's got red hair. Red hair.
It's Stump a Trek Nerd. It's brought to you by
a brand new fantasy tabletop RPG from Shades of Vengeance, Era Liars. Adventuring is too dangerous, not to mention unsanitary. Get the citizens to pay you for fictional tales of your adventures instead. All of the perks of being an adventurer with none of the danger. This game is on Kickstarter now and needs your support. So visit tinyurl.com/liars-kick. That's tinyurl.com/lyres-kick. For a great new game.
Yes. By the way, Tetsume in the chat room says he grew up in Utah County, saying Utah is very weird. No. Utah County is very weird. That's a very important thing to note, because if you live here, you'll know what I mean. There's a very distinct divide from the point of the mountain south versus north, which is Salt Lake, Ogden, and all that. Very different worlds. Utah County, yes. Very weird. Not very weird. Whatever. They're just really conservative. go north. You get into some sweet. You get into liberal country. All right, Daryl, are you there?
I am.
Hey, man. How are you?
Good.
Good. It's good to hear your voice. It's like a beacon in the night.
Mm-hmm.
Daryl, what is up with Mother Nature?
What's up with Mother Nature?
I don't know. It's going on there. It's weird.
You can't fool her.
Nope.
I know that from butter commercials, margarine commercials.
That's right. Oh, that's right. You can you? Mm-mm. Hey, has anybody seen that HBO documentary, The Jinx? Because I did. Have you seen that? All right, I want to spoil it.
I did watch the Atari one this last week.
Oh, I want to see that. I heard that's great.
It's awesome.
The Jinx is it made a huge splash. It's like it's kind of in the same zone as like what that the Serial podcast is doing. And it's really shocking at the end and all this. And I don't want to give away what happened there, but it was all the talk for a while. Actually, I'm surprised you hadn't heard of it. Well, anyway, here's the deal.
Oh, this is the Robert Durst one, right?
That's the one. Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Now, here's what I could
killed
not.
Them, killed them all.
Yeah, you see? You know what's up.
Yeah. I know what's up.
So this is the problem I had. You're almost doing it again. He sounds like the Smuckers guy. You know what I'm talking about? With a name like Smuckers, it has to be good. That guy?
You're not talking about the Pepperidge Farm guy.
No, here, I'll give you a commercial example.
All right, give me a commercial with the Smuckers guy, because...
Here we go.
All I can think of is with a name like Smuckers, it has to be good.
Here you go. Whoops, 80s. Okay, we need to do the 80s one. Original Smuckers commercial. Here it is. I don't know if... Maybe. Oh, it's a feel-good hit here. Hold on.
Of course. Probably at the very end is when they say it.
Yeah, this is lame.
No,
want to pick it or not?
Pick fruit at the peak of perfection if you want jam to taste extra delicious.
I don't think that's him. Hold on.
Okay.
Different guy. How about this guy?
After 87 years of turning the best...
This is him. Now listen very closely.
I know this guy. Okay. I know this
voice. ...into the best possible taste.
Smucker's makes a splash.
Introducing Smucker's 100% fruit juices. Try cranberry...
All right. If you've seen the Jinx, that sounds like Robert Durst. It is freakish.
With a name like Smucker's, I killed them all.
Mason Adams.
Yes, and he's in a movie we saw recently where he gets all upset.
Right. He's played a bunch of stuff that we've seen, haven't we?
Yeah,
let's see here.
I can't.
The Omen.
Something specifically where he gets really mad, and I don't remember what it is, but I'm telling you, that Smucker's guy, I got to capture that one later. He sounds like Robert Durst.
Oh, he passed away in 2005, Mason Adams.
He was killed by Robert Durst in 2005.
Oh, yeah, Lou Grant. He was on the show Lou Grant. He was like one of his guys, managing editor Charlie Hume.
Oh, was he?
Yes.
Okay, all right. Well, there you have it. I like that guy.
Name like, yeah, totally.
With a name
yeah.
like Smuckers, I killed them all. All right. Daryl? Sorry.
Kicks. He also did the Kicks commercials and Dentine commercials and Swanson commercials.
An amazing voice. Really crazy voice.
I'll bet we've got a demo reel somewhere.
Of that guy, yeah. Anyway, I'm glad to get that out of my system. It's been bugging the crap out of me. Daryl, let's get to your question here. Daryl's the Trek nerd. Comes on the show to Star Trek trivia questions. We ask them. He answers them. Today we start with a mashup. I'm guessing today will be a lot less penis-y. So let's give it a shot.
Oh, good.
Yeah. It is Irrumotic syndrome. Now you need italics B to take care of that rash.
Smoke weed every day.
Oh, Tom, I will cut you.
I'll tell you who's not a good babysitter, a 9-year-old.
What is all this brown dust that's coming out of this?
Makamatutu, baka-paka.
I don't like Creed because they're Creed. They just kind of suck.
And since when did Wesley ever go to the gym?
Got $50.
Pew, pew, boom.
It really is all over the map, though, isn't it?
It really is.
Wow.
I mean, digging up the old Nicole.
That's digging up a famous one. Hey, by the way, Brian, I captured you saying something weird last Thursday. You want to hear it?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Listen to this. Isn't that weird? I'll play it again.
Really?
Yeah, I'll play it again.
What's the context for that?
I don't know. I don't know what you were saying or what happened. I really don't know.
When you were editing it... You didn't hear what was before.
No, I don't. Well, I don't remember what I capped it from, but it was something in the middle of the show, and the way you said it, still don't know. I don't know what it is.
Like Teddy Pendergrass or something.
Yeah.
So I've got a couple really sensitive areas up in around where I've got some exposed root.
The new health and fitness section.
All right. Okay. All right.
That's
good
the
times.
Brian Page, huh?
That's the Brian Page. I have so many of you. Well, I mean, we've done the show for a long time. What do you expect?
Yeah.
Daryl, all right. What the hell, man? Here's your real thing, okay? This is a question. It's Next Generation. The Outcast. Sorry, the episode The Outcast is what it's called. The Enterprise is helping an androgynous race called the Janai. I think it's Janai.
Janai, I think, is right.
Janai, okay. They are helping them locate missing shuttle. One of them, named Soren, takes a liking to Commander Riker. I remember this one. This is the one where she wants to make out with him and asks all these hard gender questions. Anyway, in 10 Forward, Riker offers Soren some soup. What kind of soup does he share with Soren? You know, the most important part of the entire episode.
Right.
Focus on the soup. All right. Your options are split pea soup, A, B, tomato soup, C, chicken soup, or D, vegetable soup. Split pea, tomato, chicken, or vegetable.
No chowder, huh?
Nope. No chowder. Is that considered a soup, or is it considered its own? Is it considered a chowder?
It's usually one of the soups of the day. Like, if you go someplace and they have a soup of the day, sometimes it's clam chowder. I'd say it's a soup.
Very first Google autocomplete for that is chowder. I started writing and it says, is chowder a soup? So it's obviously been asked before. Let's find out.
Yeah, it does seem like a good question because it might be considered a stew or
a
something.
Goop. Brian is correct. Chowder is a thick, rich, chunky soup. So it is considered
chili.
A soup.
Chili is not a soup.
Well, chili is not a soup.
Let's find out. Yes. Is chili a soup? The first one, healthy. than a soup or gluten-free or bad for you? Let's do a soup. Is chili a soup, a stew, or its own category? Inquiring minds want to know. Wikipedia says it's a stew and a jungle. Oh, I'm sorry.
And a caveman.
I'm sorry. And Judge, I said jungle. I meant Judge John Hodgman also ruled in favor of stew. But that isn't, whatever.
No, what is the, I mean, is it just that it's thicker, like, you know, the meat to, or that the solids to liquid ratio is what defines soup versus stew?
Yeah. I think that's, yeah. I think how I think thick
how
it
long
is.
It takes to prepare. Because stew, you know, if you throw something together in 10 minutes, that's a soup. If it takes all day to simmer, mm-hmm. that's a stew.
Does it eat like a meal, right, Daryl? Would you say that?
Right. There you go.
Yeah, that's it.
Would you consider having it before the rest of your meal?
Right.
Then it's soup. Otherwise, it's stew.
Right. Nice. Yes, you're a pig if you eat chili before your meal. If you eat soup, then you're normal. That's how I look at it.
TVZ Egon says, stew is a thickened liquid.
Yeah, it is. But it's the kind you can get your head around. You're fine with that.
Right? I'm all right with that. You'll eat that kind of thickened liquid, I'm just fine with.
Well, we'll continue on here. Daryl, oh, there is no food today, but there is a Today in Trek History brought to you by this guy.
Hey.
What's going on in Trek history?
A couple things. Back in 1994, the official rap party happened for the prediction of Star Trek The Next Generation. It was done.
The prediction? What?
The production.
Oh, production. Oh, okay. You said prediction.
Production.
Production.
We predict it will begin. All right. Well, then, so that's good. What else? You said is the double-edged sword, though. What was the other edge part of the sword?
And at the same time, on the same day, the seventh day of filming was underway on the Generations movie.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And the Enterprise B scenes were filmed that day.
Is that when the B scene, that's the ship that blew up? What happened there? I forget what happened in there. Didn't the ship blow up in Generations? The thing
something like that.
Crash landed or some BS? Or am I thinking of...
I think you're thinking of something else.
Was it the TNG Enterprise crash landed on a planet in one of the TNG movies. I'm just trying to figure out which one.
Yeah.
Was it that one? I think it was that one.
It
right?
Could have been.
Yeah, Riker flew it. It the saucer section crashed into the planet, right? And almost everyone died, but then didn't die. and the whole time Picard was up having fake Christmas in the sky. Remember?
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. Yes, with Shatner, yes.
Yeah.
He's fake up there. Christmas in the
sky. He's having fake Christmas
saucer section.
Riding horses and chopping wood with
and
Shatner.
That's when they were looking for Spot.
Yeah, Spot.
The happy ending.
Stupid effing thing. All right. Daryl, good job on that. Thank you for bringing it to us. Without that, I don't know what we'd do. What are we doing now? Let's talk about your question, I guess. Let's go back to that. We don't have any food yet, and I know that we've got some people who sent some both requests and their stuff on the way, but nothing to test from your strange areas of the world. This is maybe our longest lull between deliveries. I don't know why. Maybe we saturated the market. Maybe nobody's got food
wasting
left.
Wasting away, although we do have something. Oh, never mind. I was going to say we do have something on the way, but that's not food.
Oh, what is it?
It's something related to a Kickstarter, so something to be excited about.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm excited now. Hey, when's your printer get back, by the way? Little update.
Tomorrow.
Ooh, 3D printer update. Beep, 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 beep.
Back to the light cycle. Actually, there's a couple things. I want to do a cover of a logo for my bag for New Media Expo. Just kind of walk around with that on my bag.
Are you... Okay, let me ask you a question. Because the logo feels like it might be more important than a light cycle.
Yes.
Just generally to get that done. Is part of that motivation because you don't know how long that motor is going to last and you want to just get the thing, making the thing you need first?
It's more that I want to make sure I've got enough time to design it, print it, and... if something goes wrong with my designing it, then I want to have time to redo it.
I see. That makes perfect sense to me.
I'm not worried about the motor because now they've gotten in there. They've replaced the motor. They've put a brand new motor in, and presumably everything should be fine.
Well, let's all presume along with Brian as Daryl takes the baton and answers this question. Daryl, what do you say? Split pea, tomato, chicken, vegetable.
For some reason... Split pea just screams, I'm the answer.
Mm. Hey, by the way,
it's hearty green color.
Mm, could be. I've told you about my friend in high school who could split his pea between two urinals. Have I told you guys about that? That guy was amazing.
I don't think so.
Yeah, so he could do this. And this is school urinals, so they were kind of far apart. I don't know why they would be that way in schools, but ours were anyway. He could do this on command. You'd say, "All right, dude, show us." And he would stand between two urinals, mm-hmm. kind of bold-legged, and he would pee. And there was always a little bit of time at the beginning where he was
probably peeing on the wall.
Yeah, a little bit. but he had to do some kind of maneuver. I don't know what he did, but it would then create two distinct, perfectly formed streams of pee that would go to two different urinals on the left and the right of the guy.
So kind of like how the Enterprise fires.
Yeah, kind of. Kind of like that.
Right.
Kind of like right. that. I just always thought that was... And others would
just,
try it. I never did.
Pinch the nacelles.
Right, right.
What they do in Star Trek.
Yeah. You got Geordi down there going...
Twist the nacelles. Poor ice worm. He's just gritting his teeth.
Yeah, he's like, I can't use any of these. But he would do this, and then others would try it, right? Because they thought, well, we should be able to do this. And nobody else could pull it off, ever.
Yeah. I think he's on his way to some sort of... kidney stone or something yeah. doing that business.
Gonna see
I'm sure it's not, but
a urologist.
He's causing some pressure where there so doesn't need pressure.
Right.
Is there a crowd of kids in the bathroom all trying that at the same no. time, peeing all over the
No,
floor?
But he would get a crowd kind of watching. Like it would be like after a big class would end and like midday where everyone has to pee, there'd be a good number of people in there would be like, stand back. I won't say his whole name, but we'll say, stand back. Jeff's got to pee. And everybody would like, oh, in awe, just watching this guy split his pee stream.
Can we get him to perform this at Nerdtacular?
No, I don't even know where he is now.
Set up a couple buckets.
He's probably a urologist.
Take a bow. Wash your hands.
He's probably a urethra expert now or something. Who knows what
right,
that guy's doing.
Exactly.
All right, Daryl, sorry. Back to your hoo-ha. You say split pee screams correct. Why is that, do you suppose?
Well, I've always had this thing about old ladies and how they smell. I think they smell like split pea soup.
Ew. What? Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, that's terrible.
Every old lady?
Yeah. the stinky ones.
Oh, just the stinky ones, then.
Yeah.
All right. If your old lady stinks, it's because of the split pea. She's going to smell like split pea soup. Oh, that's foul. That's a really gross visual. I'm trying to think, actually. The last time we went and did a little Christmas Carol kind of charity thing at a retirement home thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Now that you mention it, it's kind of split pea smell. Now that you mention it, yeah. I haven't had split pea in ages. When's the last time you had split pea soup?
Split pea every day. I've had split pea soup within the last 6 months.
Did you?
Mm-hmm. I like split pea soup. With,
I did too. A little ham.
Chunks of ham in there.
Oh, yeah.
Dude. Oh, yes. Mm. The only way to do it.
Sounds all right, actually.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, you say split pea. Sorry, tomato, chicken, and vegetable. Let's see if Daryl's right.
Sorry.
Let's see if you got it right. Here's your thingy.
Congratulations.
Yeah, well done.
You're a winner.
He and Soren of some split pea soup. He says that he had his father's recipe programmed into replicators. Here's a clip from that all going down.
What is it?
Split pea soup. It's my father's recipe. I had it programmed into the replicators. Well?
Unusual, but I think I like it.
Very healthy. Helps to keep you warm on cold Alaskan nights.
We prefer to stay warm by sleeping with a friend.
I see.
Oh, hey, that's where it starts. Is split pea, hold on, pea soup healthy, it says. Because he just said it was healthy, so we're going to find out.
Sure.
The advantages of split pea soup, according to the healthyeating.sfgate.com, are... Oh, no, wait, let's see what Liv Strong says. Let's see what testicle cancer has to say here. All right, here we go.
The ham probably.
High in fiber. Oh, that's good. That's good for you, right?
This is of course, split pea soup is good for you. No, I'm not doing any steroids.
Helps with weight control. Source of minerals. Very filling, so you don't eat a ton. And you people think you're an old lady. All right, great. Perfect.
Wow, that's what interesting.
You want. Yeah. Daryl, good job. You've done it. I smell another perfect week coming. It smells like split pea soup. Daryl is the...
and
yes.
Old ladies.
Go ahead,
and before
Brian.
We get to Daryl asking us a question, here's an interesting factoid. Twinkies were invented on this day. Daryl, can you guess the year?
Whoa.
1930.
That's exactly right.
What? You knew that?
No.
Oh.
But if I'm going to ask Daryl a year question, it's a pretty safe bet that that's going to be the year.
Yeah.
Did you see that here recently? Let's see. They revealed what the actual ingredients are in Twinkies. This was up till Nessie. The Twinkie, created during the Depression, Oh my gosh. It's a depression food.
Yeah, because they were sending real food overseas to the bars.
Yeah, exactly. Our bars at war, see?
We can't afford real ingredients, see? So we're going to use these packing material to make a tasty treat for the kids.
Yeah, come here, Belly. Eat a Twinkie, you little piece of shit. Okay, so here's how it went. The Twinkie was created during the Depression, contains 39 ingredients. One of those ingredients is a preservative, sorbic acid. Sorbic acid is an ingredient I see in many packaging, blah, 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 blah. This one doesn't give me a list. I don't like sites that don't give me a list. All right, so screw you guys. Here we go. Twinkies on how stuff works. It includes...
How do Twinkies work? Twinkies, how do they work?
What's the deal? All right. Daryl is the Trek nerd on Twitter. He's also at This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com and the Grumpy Cast. And Daryl will now share with us a thing of something. What do you got?
39 ingredients? I doubt that.
Most everything has at least that, right? Like you could say, well, I don't know. We got to find a list.
Flour, water, preservative, foam, and that's it.
Foam, yeah, foam.
What else do you need?
Foam, fire retardant foam is in there. I still have that 10-year-old, now it's like 12-year-old Twinkie that I left out and is now hard as a, it's a stone. It's an absolute stone, but if you looked at it, you'd say, oh, that's a Twinkie, and you'd feel like you could eat it and it'd be all spongy. But it's hard as a rock, completely preserved, didn't decay at all. 12 years out in the open, I still have it.
There was a bagel you put in the backyard once. Whatever happened to that?
That thing got eaten by birds.
Oh, okay.
And that thing will, you know, at least biodegrade. But this Twinkie, no way. It's seriously as hard as any rock that I have.
Wow.
You know all the rocks that I have? It's like those.
I've compared them to all my rocks.
They're like my rocks, my stones. All right, Daryl, what do you got?
Rejected Star Trek episode title or actual video game.
Okay. I like these a lot. What are these? This is a fun one.
Tongue of the Fat Man.
Tongue of the Fat Man.
That is there's no way a game called Tongue of the Fat Man. Really?
I can't. It's funny. I can't picture it being either a video game or a rejected Trek episode title. But it seems like between the two.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's some weird Japanese stuff in the world. That comes out and says...
See, that's the thing. It's like Katamari Damacy. You know, roll a sticky ball could have been the name of that game, right?
Right.
Sticky ball roller time.
Roller time. So maybe it's too obvious. Maybe it's...
Right. It could be like a little descending shooter kind of thing where you've got food and you're on the tongue of the fat man. You got to shoot all the fast food as it approaches the bottom.
Yeah. I feel like we take a risk and say video game because it feels so not one that I feel like it must be because Daryl's dorking with us.
I don't know. Tongue of the Fat Man. Yeah, let's do video game. Right. I think it's going against everything I believe.
Yeah,
except that this could be a Star Trek
Me
title.
Too. This is where we really are taking a risk. We are stepping, we are Indiana Jones stepping out into that chasm not knowing that there's a floor there.
That's right.
And then we'll be smart enough to throw rocks on it before we leave. All right, Brian, go. Or Daryl, I mean.
Okay, back in 1989, when TNG was being made.
It's a video game.
PC Activision.
Nice. Uh-huh. Yeah. Continue.
And that's all I have.
All right,
I know how this right turn works.
That's right.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It's the news brought to you by...
Brought to you by The Boop Show. Scott, what's on tap today?
Oh, it'll be gaming news and commentary and good times. If you haven't checked out that show yet, I recommend that you might, because if you like video games, it's maybe one of my new favorite things to do. I really enjoy it. Right up there with TMS and FilmSack and the best shows on the network.
I'm right here.
Well, you know. it's over at frogpants.com/boop, BOOP. And you can subscribe various ways and enjoy it, and I think you'll like it. It's one of my favorite things, so please do check it out.
Watch Boop every day.
Yeah, watch Boop every day. All right, where's our news? Oh, here we go. Very Hollywood-centric news today. Furious 7, which is that new Fast and Furious film there, broke box office records with an insane opening weekend.
Sure.
Who owns that one? Who got that in the draft?
Was that part of the draft?
It was.
Oh, it was. Yeah, first it was like one. The first thing you could get, right?
Yeah.
I'll tell you, it was.
I just know it wasn't us.
It definitely was not us. That's owned by GFQ.
Oh,
the
boy.
GFQ folks.
Oh, boy. Because this thing, made.
They own that, Paul Blart Mall Cop 2, Entourage Max, Magic Mike, Double XL, and Paper Town. So here's their, this is their tent pole.
This
really
is their tent pole. It may have been a good tent pole to pick because it's insane. It's ran over the back old record and backed over it and ran over it again. The latest in the Fast and Furious franchise earned $143.6 million domestically alone in its opening weekend. That is unheard of in April. Absolutely mind-bogglingly shocking.
Crazy. Yeah, for an April release. Jeez.
That cracked into the 10 best openings of all time any time of the year. Destroyed the previous April record set by Captain America, the Winter Soldier, at $95 million set in 2014 last year. So that beat the Captain America numbers by a whopping amount of money. Worldwide has already surpassed $300 million, estimated to earn a $190 million budget. So they made their money. Gee, I wonder, let me rub my chin. I wonder if there'll be another one of these movies.
You think maybe, I don't know.
There's also something, there's some statistics going around that 75% of ticket buyers for this movie are African American in the States. And I don't know why that sounds significant, but apparently it is. That's a big number for Black American moviegoers, and I don't know why. Why is that?
Because I don't know.
It's not like it's, I don't know, it's not like, I don't even know what to think about those numbers or why that's even significant. Maybe it isn't at all. But what is that increase in stuff? And also, who's keeping those numbers? Is it the zip-faced kid at the movie theater going, white guy, black guy, Asian guy?
Right, little, he's got a little tick pad, like he's chick, chick, chick.
Indeterminate I think Arab guy, I guess. I don't know.
Maybe Mexican, maybe. Or Eastern Indian. I'll put a question mark there.
Hey, boss, can we add a brown guy to this? Yeah, I don't know. But that's pretty crazy. Fast and Furious 6 opened with over $97 million in 2013. I wonder how much of this was the death of Paul Walker. I don't know. Because he's in it, you know. He's all up in this thing.
Right, of course, yeah.
Well, good job, Furious 7. May your box office luck continue well into the summer, I guess. Yeah. Or not.
Do you have an interest in seeing it?
Yeah, I want to see. I've only seen one and Tokyo Drift.
Okay.
And I've never seen the rest, so we have an interest. The family and I have decided.
Well, that's right. You're talking about doing the binge.
It's so stupid.
Marathon.
Yeah. How stupid are we, really? It's such a dumb idea. But we're thinking about watching them top to bottom. We'll start with the original, work our way all the way through. I remember really liking Tokyo Drift. I thought that was great. Mm-hmm.
Any of them streaming?
I don't think so. Maybe. But I've been told that the others, recent ones, like 5 through 6 or 4 through 6, are really fun, like really well-made action movies. And a lot of people are saying that about this. Actually, let's see what Rotten Tomatoes says this morning. Just curious.
Yeah, none of them are streaming, except for the 1955, The Fast and the Furious, starring John Ireland and Dorothy Malone.
Oh, it's a hell of a film. A great picture.
Yes.
Here you go. Furious 7, 83% on Rotten Tomatoes. That's a pretty good rating.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. What else came out this weekend? Anything?
Home, 47%.
That's the animated deal.
Yeah. Get Hard, 29%.
That was 2 weeks ago, wasn't it?
Oh, this is just top box office, sorry. In theaters, opening. Here we go. Here's openings. It's doing next week's openings.
Yeah, it's got the...
I don't know how it works then.
Let's see here. Does it show? Oh, release date. No, it really doesn't. It just only shows what's.
Huh. Yeah, that's weird. I don't know why they do it that way. It's hard to tell what just came out. Well, anyway.
What it was up against.
That is some mean numbers, man. Good luck to them, I guess, and good job, I suppose. And
for sure.
83% is really good.
This week brings The Longest Ride, Danny Collins, Ex Machina, Clouds of Sils Maria, and Lost River.
Ooh, the Ex Machina thing.
Stay home and watch TV.
That Ex Machina is supposed to be awesome.
Really? Yeah. Oh, it's got an 89%.
Yeah. It's supposed to be real good. It's a science fiction thing. It looks amazing. I want to see it.
Oh, look at that. Alicia Vikander, Oscar Isaac.
Yeah. There are two people from Star Wars in it. The new Star Wars movie.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I like the... Oh, yeah. I have seen this.
You've seen the trailer?
I've seen the trailer, yeah.
It's cool, right?
It does look cool.
When do we know when they've really, truly become more human?
Right, exactly. Yeah, Alex Garland is the director, and he did 28 Days Later. And
Our robots are human.
And Sunshine.
What do we do about
screenwriter? The... Screenwriter for Sunshine.
Oh, yeah, screenwriter. That's right. Mm-hmm. Human robots. George R.R. Martin has developed or is developing an HBO series. Another one, not just the Game of the Thrones.
Oh, good, because we're hoping he was going to finally find something to do.
Yeah, he needs to be. Yeah, he's not busy enough.
Yeah, let's give him a distraction, people.
He's doing
well
something.
Done.
He's doing a series called Captain Cosmos.
Here's the tip, folks. Don't get too attached to Captain Cosmos because he dies 3 minutes into the first episode.
I love the theory that everything he ever wrote or will write has people dying left and right. A new television series called Captain Cosmos about a visionary young writer creates a science fiction series and tells stories no one else will dare tell. That's the name. That's the theory there.
Okay.
This is according to Entertainment Weekly. In 2013, as Game of Thrones was the cusp of becoming the most watched TV program in HBO's history, Martin inked a 2-year deal, development deal with the cable network to create this new series. While he spent most of his time on the new book, he's also been working on this idea for Captain Cosmos. According to the EW, the series will take place, quote, at the dawn of the age of TV in 1949.
Interesting. That sounds fun.
It does sound great. HBO doesn't just sign off on crap, so I'm in, I think.
So they need an actor to play a young writer who creates a science fiction TV series.
I'm 1949. Oh, you know what? They're setting it in the year I love, so bring it on, man.
Wow.
I wasn't alive then, folks. You don't have to call me old. I just like the 40s. I wasn't born until much later.
Get off my lawn.
Yeah, damn it. Piece of garbage.
Hanging out with Tina's folks this week, and they came over for Easter.
Yeah.
And I love her parents. Her parents are great.
Yeah.
Really funny.
But
her mom really hasn't figured out Facebook yet, and she, you know, she's put personal letters to people on Facebook and put her phone number and all that stuff in public.
Sure.
Her dad tells these great stories, but he talks so slowly that, you know, for him to get through a story, man, it takes forever.
Yeah, like when they, it's that's an interesting point, because if you're
when
like,
I was working at the hospital,
and he does maybe sound a little bit like Hank Hill now that I do the impersonation of him,
and we had a guy who came in,
I love
and
it.
And his name was Larry Hatfield.
Oh my gosh, I love it.
And then Connie will interrupt, right? She'll chime in with some part of the story, and no, Connie, that's not what happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Always correcting her.
But it'll even say that slowly.
It'll even say that slowly, yes.
Well, this is my response.
I'm in love with it.
I love it. I love it. I love old people. Fantasy Coin sponsoring the show today.
Yes.
Fantasy Coin. I want you guys to go to tinyurl.com/fcoin15.
Fcoin 15.
That's a great thing. They're launching a new Kickstarter in April this month. And they're doing some new coins. This stuff is exciting. Now, if you've followed them before, you know that they had this hugely successful Kickstarter that showed a bunch of incredible things for people that were looking for coins to use with their D&D games and their tabletop stuff. Oh, look at that. Show it.
In
show
my
it.
Hand. Like,
show it. Show it.
Here's the dwarven gold.
Oh, my gosh. Look at
that. Look how cool that thing is. And it's, you know, we're talking.
Oh, no, right? They're the real deal, man.
There's a little octagon. Yeah. I bought the whole, like, here's the whole bag.
Oh, my gosh. I love that crap.
They
it's
do
so
too.
Cool. So he's doing some Cthulhu stuff. You know, I always order the Cthulhu when I'm in the drive-in at Taco Bell.
At the Chipotle?
Yeah, the Chipotle Cthulhu. Mm. Dwarven Forge Master set. He's also got Waterhelm, Paladin, Goblin, Serpent, Fantasy Kingdom, Sci-Fi, Dragon Scale, Victory Point. Tons of cool stuff. And also those bars like you have. They've got the Dwarven, the Elven, the Cthulhu, and the Elemental. And he's making rupees. We mean hexagonal glass gems. We don't want Nintendo getting all pissed off.
Right.
But rupees, man. Better boxes, better pledge management, better fulfillment. They're doing everything this time, just knocking it out of the park. So you guys want to check it out. tinyurl.com/fcoin15. Check them out today.
Oh, these are gorgeous. I'm looking at the site, the page right now, and he's showing like all of the triangular which set is that? Oh, they like assemble into like a six-piece little hexagon.
It's the it's the Voltron of coins.
It really is.
That's what's happening there.
Gorgeous.
Go look at it, everyone, please. David Lynch says he's leaving Twin Peaks Revival. Oh. Showtime responds. So here's the deal. Well, he's a little temperamental. You got to watch it with him.
He is. Yeah, exactly. You don't rub David Lynch the wrong way because he walks out.
You can't watch a movie on your effing phone. Yeah. If you guys heard that video, it's great. You should go look it up if you haven't heard it. It's very funny. Him talking about the idea.
Oh, no, I know that one.
Yeah, I wish there was a bleep version I'd play it, but I don't want to offend the kids. Anyway, he's out. He doesn't want to do it. He's been there's been lots of replacement lots of disappointment on Twitter. People are real upset about him leaving the project. And he announced his own departure on Twitter. He says, "Dear Twitter friends, Showtime did not pull the plug on Twin Peaks. After 1 year and 4 months of negotiations, I left because not enough money was being offered to do the script the way I felt it needed to be done." He wants to have cave trolls and stuff. I don't know. "This weekend, I started to call actors to let them know I would not be directing. Twin Peaks may still be the very, very much alive at Showtime. I love the world of Twin Peaks and wish things could have worked out differently." And the internet went, everyone crapped their pants.
Right.
"In a statement, Showtime hoped this still wasn't the end of Lynch's involvement. He says, we were saddened by to read David Lynch's statement today. We believe we are working towards solutions. The David and his reps on the few remaining deal points. Showtime also loves the world of Twin Peaks. We continue to hope." Basically, they're saying, "Oh, we're trying to get him back."
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Don't give up. Yeah. The what does this mean though? Not enough money was offered to do the script the way I felt it needed to be done.
Yeah, that's a weird statement a little bit. It's not like he said they didn't want to put the money into how the budget would have to be. It was more like they didn't want to pay me enough.
Right. It kind of is, right? Mm-hmm. I mean.
Yeah. I wonder what you get. I wonder what David Lynch gets for such a thing and what they weren't willing to give. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Plus, he's just that kind of guy to go, "Fine. I'll go make Eraserhead again and F you." And he'll just say, you know, he doesn't care. I hope he's back on the project. That would be good. I don't know that you'd even want to do the damn thing without him. Would you? Would you even want to go forward? I don't know if you would.
I don't know. It's so entrenched in David Lynch. Mm-hmm. You can. I don't think you can. I think
if you do, it's not going to get near the
gets lost.
Yeah, and you're not going to get near the treatment. Everyone's going to be negative, even if it's not bad. Like, you know, it's just not going
to
be
good. You know what you get if you try to do Twin Peaks without David Lynch?
What?
You get The Killing.
Yeah.
Because that took place in a very Twin Peaks mm-hmm. world without yeah. any quirk or weirdness.
Yeah, I agree. It's a good show.
It is a good show.
But it's, you know, Twin Peaks is a very distinct thing. Mm-hmm. You know what you want? Yeah. Twin Peaks is basically, here's what Twin Peaks is. Twin Peaks is The Killing and Northern Exposure having a baby. In a lot of ways, because you got the darkness of it and the mystery and the whatnot, and then you get the weird townspeople bit that you get from Northern Exposure, mm-hmm. and together you get the Twin Peaks. In fact, you might say, oh, I'm so slow on the draw with this. You might say the whole thing is
wrapped in plastic.
All right.
Just waiting for that.
There you go. Finally, in the news here, Fox is planning a Play-Doh movie. Hey, Brian, you looking forward to the Play-Doh movie?
Everything is moldable.
I mean, you know, they surprised us with Legos, but I felt like Legos at least had Lego dudes, you know? Like,
Right, exactly. It's like, how many scenes are going to take place in the Fuzzy Pumper Barbershop?
Yeah, maybe all, because what else do they have that matters? Mm-hmm. Let's see, it gets hard and ruins your carpet.
Right. Non-toxic.
Yeah. That's true. You could eat
Everything's
it.
Everything's not toxic.
Everything won't kill you. I don't know what else you do, but it says here there was a time when we all looked upon films based on toy products as largely scornful and suspicious, particularly if they didn't immediately lend themselves to narrative ideas. Then came the Lego movie. But again, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. Hasbro, and who also owns Play-Doh and Fox, are in talks with Paul Feig to direct it.
Wow.
Paul Feig.
Paul Feig. That's a pull, man. That's a huge pull.
Yeah, let's see. So he does, he's doing Ant-Man. Am I wrong about that? Hold on.
That's correct. That is.
No. I'm sorry. He was hired to do. He's not. He doesn't say he's doing Ant-Man.
Hold on. I thought he was.
So was.
Oh no, he's more on the Melissa McCarthy train with Bridesmaids and The Heat.
Yeah, but didn't they? I thought they announced he was doing a big. You know what? You're right. That's all it is. I'm thinking of somebody totally different. I'm thinking of the guy that was hired to do it.
Who is doing
Ant-Man? Why does Ant-Man say Taken 3?
Peyton Reed.
Oh, here we go. Peyton Reed's who I'm thinking of, yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they look a lot alike to me. Oh, no, they don't. They look nothing alike. I remember we were surprised because that guy...
That's right. It was the Ghostbusters reboot. That's what we were hearing all about. Yes. Right?
Oh, Feig. Yes, that's it. Ghostbusters, yes. Paul Feig. Okay, mm-hmm. Now it's all coming together. I knew Melissa McCarthy had something to do with that. Anyway, doesn't matter. The point is, they're talking to him about doing it. The company, which spearheaded movies based on the Transformers, G.I. Joe, among others, is partnering with Fox to get the squishy clay stuff into some sort of film, and the Bridesmaids director is probably the guy to do it, I suppose. You know, it'd be funny if there was a scene where Melissa McCarthy was in a sink trying to push Play-Doh through her butt. That'd be pretty funny.
Do you think Play-Doh would do well if they did have more? Like, look how well Lego's done with all these different tie-ins,
sure.
Like the Star Wars sets and the superhero sets, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. If Play-Doh were able to somehow land those same things, and I know that way back there was a Play-Doh set that had, like, you could just basically stamp out a little Spider-Man and stamp out a little Hulk, but they were a little rigid, like, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah, like Play-Doh,
as
Marvel.
As rigid as Play-Doh is, but it's not like you had, all right, now here's another thing to make his arm, and then you can stick his arm on there in any position, and then you can do this with his, like, I mean, it was like you got what's that kind of cookie? The gingerbread man. You basically got a gingerbread Spider-Man is what you ended up with.
Well, look what they have right here. This is actually fairly recent. This came out 2014. So this may answer your question. I'm going to play this. This is like somebody's YouTube video about it, but I'll just play a bit.
Hey, everyone. Awesome Disney Toys here. And today we're bringing you the Marvel Superhero Adventures playset.
Oh.
Here's the front of the box.
Okay.
And here's the back of the box.
Here's the back. Hey, kids.
It's an unboxing.
So it is literally a Play-Doh set for Marvel Heroes.
Look at that.
Yeah. So I guess this exists. So yeah.
Oh, there you go. It's based on the Superhero Squad stuff.
So maybe this is all getting beefed up. You know?
Maybe.
Maybe this is happening. You know, maybe what you're asking is happening now. Maybe they're trying to. Maybe every toy company saw that success of that Lego thing and went, you know what we really need to do?
It's funny, though, because it still is you're stamping out a gingerbread Spider-Man. I want Wolverine's fist, right? And then you push a little button and Play-Doh squirts out like little claws.
Yeah. Yeah, it needs to be more than that. But I guess this is for... This is for very little kids, right? Like, this is not... Yeah. Lego is, like, if you're 6 and older, Lego's your thing. That's your bomb. Right.
And Lego, you'll continue playing with up into your, you know, your adulthood, whereas sure. Play-Doh, I think that does pretty much stop.
Like Mark and Nicole's kid... You know, he could eat half of this before he's done with it. Like, it skews so much younger.
Yeah.
I remember a time, I swear that there was Play-Doh that didn't taste bad. I can't, if someone may have to confirm this, chat room, get on that hunt, but I swear there was a Play-Doh that was flavored better so that when a kid would eat it, it wasn't terrible. I can't remember. Anyway, more on the Play-Doh movie as we know it. I'm sure it's going to be an amazing time for everyone. Let's tell you about our friends at Squarespace.com, where if you want to make a Play-Doh fan site, why, they've got just the tools for you. Responsive designs, great templates, tools you need to sell stuff. Want to look good on an iPad, no problem. All those sorts of things are there for you if you use Squarespace for your next great website. You can even domain register over there, get a domain. I'm so irritated this morning. I was noticing how many short-name domains are just squatted on. Like, just people sitting on them.
Of course.
I was going to do this one like Phil, FILL.com, for example. I hit that one, and it just hangs forever. Nothing ever comes up. Why? Because someone owns it and isn't doing jack with it. And there are hundreds of them. Most of them have like ads, and it just irritates the crap out of me. But if you want to break that mold, you want to go register a domain, make a great website, go to squarespace.com and get 10% off when you check out. Use the code MORNING for 10% off your account at squarespace.com. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Major spoilers. V will be here, I hope. I haven't talked to her, but I think so. And some phone calls. Why the hell not? Brian, you got music for me in the meantime?
Why the hell not? Yeah. Yes. How about this one? This is coming from Brandon. Brandon Hatmaker says, "Dear Schnitzel and Bratwurst, I've been a loyal listener to the show since the start." I'm sure that's not how he meant to phrase that.
No.
And or how he meant me to say that. "And I've never requested anything. And I've never requested anything. On April 6th, I'm going to turn 27. And I would like for you to play either a cover of Bohemian Rhapsody or a cover of Live and Let Die. Any type of cover will be great. If nothing's available, then the Darius Rucker Chicken Ranch song will be good too. Love the show and keep up the great work. Grow a hobo, Brandon Hatmaker."
All right. I love it. I love his. I love the fallback to the Chicken Ranch guy.
Well, and there's a surprise coming up this week with regards to that. So just hold on to your butts for that.
I'm excited.
All right. So how about a cover of Live and Let Die? So Bohemian Rhapsody is a very tough song to cover because it in and of itself contains so many different styles of music, so many different genres that for somebody to cover it, it's really hard for them to say, all right, our style is this, so we're going to do the whole song in this. And then all of a sudden it's like, well, no, we got to get in heavy guitars for the, you know, "So you think you can love me and leave me to die," all that stuff. So anyway,
all right,
let's just do Live and Let Die and just call it good. Okay.
All right.
Back in 2009, the War Child effort from the UK put out an all-cover album called Heroes, which featured a bunch of different artists, different current artists doing covers of older songs. On that album, they have a cover of the James Bond theme from the movie of the same name. It originally done by Paul McCartney and Wings. Here is Duffy, who I love her voice, doing Live and Let Die.
When you were young and your heart was an open book, you used to say, live and let live. But if there's ever a changing world which we live in, makes you give in and cry. Say live and let die. Live and let die. Say live and let die. What does it matter to you when you got a job to do? You gotta do it. You gotta give the other fellow hell. Say live and let die.
Hands, Mr. Potato Head. Get eyes and ears and funny noses and hands. Mr. Super, Mr. Potato Head. I like you, you funny guy.
New Super Mr. Potato Head from Hasbro Preschool.
This is outrageous!
The Morning Stream. No, you better don't!
Sassy, that's Scott Fletcher. He's sassy.
Mm-hmm, he is.
Sassy. What is that sassy thing from? Do you know?
This is a Saturday Night Live thing,
wasn't it? That's right, SNL.
It was Phil Hartman. Sassy.
That's right.
I just stepped in a big pile of sassy.
We stayed in a hotel. It's a long story. We got a free hotel night over the weekend, so we did one night in a hotel on Friday? Yeah, after Current Geek, Kim and I went out of town uptown, for a night, and stayed in this really nice old hotel. It's been there since the 1800s. Really cool. And they had this TV show that was all this great, like, recap of SNL stuff, and I was just enthralled by it. It was really, really great. And I don't even remember what channel it was on or what the hell the whole point was, but It was just, like, this great look at mostly the 90s and early aughts and how things changed over and when Norm got fired and why he got fired, and it was fantastic. Really enjoyed it, speaking of SNL. Cool. Also, quick PSA, if the guy who gave me that really rad hoodie that you custom made and brought to Nerdtacular last year...
Oh, yeah.
If you're listening to the show, could you track me down or let me know who you are? Because I have not said enough about how much I love... That's my favorite hoodie in the world.
I got one, too.
Yeah, the same guy, then.
The black one with the gold customization, right?
Yeah, it makes you look all gangster when you wear it.
Yes, totally does, yes.
Can you... So, who do you not remember the name? I don't remember the name.
I don't remember the name either. Okay.
I feel bad because I really want to remember it. And I want to give him credit because...
I tweeted with him when he gave it to me.
So, he probably follows us. Yeah. Is my guess, but I'm very...
If I could go back and look through my tweets for that weekend, I should be able to find it.
We'll see if we can track him down. I just want to give him props, because that thing is odd. Awesome, not odd. The word odd came out, I meant awesome. Maybe I was thinking of Steven. Steven's a little odd. Steven Schleicher, everybody. Hey, Steven.
Womp womp. There you go.
How's it going, brother?
Hey, it's going good.
Oh,
it is Monday, right?
It is Monday.
Sorry, I got to turn off this thing.
Yeah,
let's push that button. There we go.
It's like living it
over
again.
Turn your radio down, down.
down. So it's good to have Steven here as always. Comes on the show, talks about pop culture, comics, movies, and more. It's one of my favorite segments of the week, and a few things going on this week. I got to ask you real quick, though, without any spoilers and without anybody knowing, and I still have not seen the show, so I got to catch up. Something happened on The Flash, apparently, and everyone's talking about it. It's all I hear about.
Yeah, I can't spoil it.
It was a big deal, though, right?
There's a bunch of big dealio things happening. That's all I can say without spoiling it, Scott.
Was it?
Okay. When you sent that over, I added it to our discussion.
Oh, no.
We can discuss.
So, at WonderCon, they ran down a bunch of things that are coming up in the rest of the season. Mm-hmm. And we've got a little top 10 items, things that were kind of revealed for Flash fans going forward. But, yes, if you are definitely someone who has not watched the show or is not caught up and do not want to be spoiled, don't read that article over at Major Spoilers called 10 Things We Learned About the Flash Television Series.
Yeah.
Because it's got some things to come. Oh, let me give you one. Here's an easy
one. Okay, give us an easy one.
That's not going to spoil anything for everybody.
Great.
For people who've been wondering if Mirror Master was going to show up this season as they build the Rogues Gallery, no, he's going to show up in season 2.
Oh, all right. Well, that's not a huge
one. So that's not a huge one. If you're wondering why they say Ra's al Ghul or Ra's al Ghul, it depends. If you're someone who's in the inner circle, you say it one way. And if you're everyone else, you say it a different way.
Oh, wow.
Is that true? Weird.
That's what they said. That's why on the Arrow series, they bounce back and forth on that.
Well, so here's the question.
So we basically, once you've gotten to a certain level, he pulls you aside and says, it's pronounced Ra's.
Welcome.
If you tell anybody outside the inner circle, I will kill you.
Welcome to level 8, Xenu. Is the great intergalactic overlord. Here's my question. When WonderCon things happen, or Comic-Con, or wherever, somebody spouts something off in a panel. Mm-hmm. Is that canon now? Like, can you say
when it comes from the executive producer's mouth, it's canon.
Okay. That's my question. Because, you know, in the comics, people will interpret whatever words they want, but when you hear it said out loud and then there's some confusion, you don't know where to go to. So I guess if somebody at a con who is directly in charge of licensed property from the world of DC, in this case Flash, and they say something, I guess you can count that as gospel.
Yeah, Batman the Animated Series was always going, Ra's al Ghul. And then it was Christopher Nolan that was Ra's, And then that got people confused. And then, of course, you've got people who are speaking the language saying, no, 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 it's pronounced this way. And this is what Andrew Kreisberg said at WonderCon this weekend.
Yeah. Well, when it was Christopher Nolan's turn, I pronounced it freak. How did I used to say it? I used to say it different than any of the ones examples you've given me here. Maybe I should have just called
Razzle.
It
yeah. Razzle Ghoul.
Razzle Ghoul.
Razzle Ghoul. Razzle Ghoul.
Got a new line of candy coming out from the Wonka people.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Liam Neeson. That's how I should have pronounced it. Liam Neeson. There you go. Everyone's been getting it wrong but me. anyway, well, let's talk about some of the stuff we can talk about.
Okay.
And again, if you want to be spoiled, majorspoilers.com. That article's there.
Yep.
It's right check there it out. In the URL, people. So, you know, you can't blame us.
Tell me about this. These things are a little, they kind of do my head in. But Green Lantern is doing a Star Trek crossover in July. Tell me about that.
Oh, poor Daryl. His head is splitting open. Yeah. So the IDW Star Trek series has just wrapped up the Star Trek Planet of the Apes crossover, which was rather interesting. Mm-hmm. Star Trek has crossed over with Doctor Who, Legion of Superheroes, X-Men from years ago. And this summer, they will be crossing over with the Green Lantern Corps in July.
Now, is this a sign of IDW just going, hey, we'll do whatever, man? And these other companies are like, all right, as long as it's cheap, we don't care. Like, how does that work?
I don't know if it's cheap. I think it's one of those things that it's, hey, this is going to work for us or it's not going to work for us. Yeah. And I think IDW and other companies who've had the Star Trek property before know that, hey, we can cross over into all these universes. It's a win-win for everyone. Star Trek fans are going to grab it. You know, superhero or whatever ancillary crossover fans are going to pick it up too. So it is kind of a win-win for everyone, especially like with the Boom Studios IDW. You know, they're splitting on that. And I'm sure DC is getting a nice little profit for doing very little work in this series, except probably approving, you know, yes, this you can use. No, you can't use this kind of thing.
Well, that's interesting just because, you know, it seems like it's to their benefit to do this because a lot of people aren't, IDW is not on everyone's radar, you know, like it's a thing. It exists and comic readers know it, but the mainstream, they know DC, they know Marvel, they might know Image, but the rest is kind of a blur.
Yeah, they might know Dark Horse. I mean, if we're talking about the big five right now, it's certainly Marvel, DC, Image, Dark Horse, and IDW would be right in there and maybe even ahead of Dark Horse a lot of times these days.
Yeah. Well, I think it's fascinating, and I kind of want to see it. I don't know how you treat Green Lantern in that universe, but I'm kind of want to see it.
Well, it takes place in the 23rd century, and the balance of the universe is tested when the Green Lantern Corps power rings come into the possession of a certain Star Trek characters.
Whoa.
So I wonder who would be, you know, who would have a Red Lantern, who would have a Yellow Lantern, who would have a Green Lantern in that spectrum of colors. Spock would be, the most logical. He would probably be, like purple or blue or something. He's more hope.
Yeah. You're right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
He's more
hope. Well, anyway, coming in July, watch for that.
Yep.
Chances are we're all going to be better for it, I suppose.
Sure.
Powers. Okay. Have you watched the Powers show?
Yeah.
It's really kind of bad.
It is.
Very
Here's
bad.
Here's the thing. It's not terrible story, but the effects are laughable.
No, it's bad. Like the production and the direction and the effects, very, very bad.
Yeah, I mean, there's this one. You haven't seen it?
I haven't seen it. I've got a PlayStation Plus account, but maybe I'm glad I haven't seen it.
Ask for your money back. There's this one bit a couple of weeks ago or a couple of episodes ago where a retro girl is going to go fly off. And what she does is she lifts her arms straight up like an action figure does, you know, without the bendable elbows. Mm-hmm. And it's like you can see them cut out with a pair of scissors around her. And then she just goes up.
Really?
Much faster than that, but it's so apparent what they're doing.
It's bad.
Holy crap, it is awful.
I only could get through a chunk of the first episode, and I was so disappointed I couldn't. I didn't want to besmirch my memory of Powers, a great series, any further than I had to.
It's one of those things right now where I'm sitting there going, well, have I gotten through all of iZombie? Have I gotten caught up with all my other shows? Mm-hmm.
It's like,
I guess I'll watch Powers.
I'll have. Because, you know, for you and what you do and for your work, it's almost like you have to, but I feel bad for you because it sucks. It's not so much that, and as, but the big disappointment here is this was Sony's chance to say, look, original programming from us can work like it does for Amazon and Hulu and everybody else. But then, you know, to give them a pass a little bit, if you look at Amazon's first year, their originals that year, terrible.
Oh, but if you look at some of the things that are on their pilot season right now, it's awful.
Oh, some of them, yes. Some of it's
amazing.
And
some of the things that have been in pilot season are now on their third season and are still awful.
Yeah, that's true. Like that, what was that one, the Supernatural one? Oh, shoot.
Oh, the guy that's high and sees dead people?
No, no, but that one's bad, too. That one's really bad. That, where he talks to ghosts because he's on pot all the time? That's a stupid show. Hemlock Grove, I think.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's had a cool premise and everything, but really bad.
Wow, it even had Famke Janssen in it, too,
it
right?
It sure did. She did turn. She turned into. She said, "Up, I'm out of here." Turned into Phoenix and flew out. She was done.
Wait, you know, Powers has the guy that's in Chappie. Oh, he has Chappie in the
that's
show.
Right.
The guy who, yeah, I mean, the guy who was in District 10 and all, yeah. Or District 9,
yeah.
All that stuff.
Nine, yeah. And yeah. It's just, I'm sorry. It just, they need to up their skills just a little. I don't know what it is. It's just, it looks like a C movie that's a direct to VHS movie.
Well, do you remember Fox when its first year on the air? Like,
yeah.
Everything was shit. Like I feel like
Adventures of Bean Baxter or whatever it was.
I feel like I gotta give them a year before I make a full judgment because all of these services went through this. The only one I can think of that really didn't was Netflix, but they also waited forever and they spent a ton of money. But they got House of Cards right. That was their first big, truly original series, and they nailed it. But that's, I think that's a rare case. I think most of the time, if you're a new network, even on regular TV, even cable networks, their first years, oh my gosh, they're bad.
Well, but here's the thing. So Powers has Brian Michael Bendis behind this, helping along with the production of it.
Yeah.
It's frickin' Sony, for gosh sakes.
Yeah, they got a whole pictures division.
Dump a little money.
Yeah. Well, they're the problem is, where the money's coming from is a problem because Sony is in this weird position right now. Their film side is doing okay. Their TV and electronic side is in the tanker right now.
Tank, yeah.
PlayStation 4 doing great, but these are all separate entities under the same umbrella. Some are pirating from the other. Like it's like a weird, it's like it's such a weird setup. So I don't know what decision has to be made at Sony top level, but somebody needs to say, guys, we have an entire movie division. Pull some cash, talent, whatever from there. Make this count, or else you're just wasting your time, and you're gonna just push everybody.
And if they made it a joint production between Sony Pictures and the PlayStation Network, then it would work fine. I'm sure it would. But you know, as it stands right now, this show has gone through two different production companies. It was over at Fox, and then I think it was at one other place, USA or NBC or something. Both times it popped, and then finally landed at Sony. So I don't know. It needs a bit of work.
Yeah. For sure.
Needs a bit of work.
I hope they can figure it out because I want Sony to succeed in that. I think everybody in that space has so much potential to bring us all these new experiences, but it might be too late to experiment in a way that makes you look bad because the others are kind of up in their game.
Yep.
Let's now talk about... Oh, well, the whole point is that Powers is getting a card game. I didn't even bring up.
Yeah. Tabletop game if you were into that.
Oh, really?
I was announced at WonderCon this week from IDW Games.
Hey,
if
look at that.
Not too sour on the...
Well, you know, Powers as a book is really great, and if you want to read probably the best volume in the series, read Who Killed Retro Girl,
which
is what this first season is based on, which is nothing like the comic book. This is one where it's a complete departure from one to the other. At least with the Flash television series, you have references to the comics and you've got little bits and pieces that follow along faithfully. The Power series and the comic book are as different as night and day.
Yeah, and totally makes sense. All right, now I have news that I think someone can go find the clip. Ice Warm, maybe if you're bored. I don't know when I said this, and I think it was on this show, but I think I predicted a long time ago there was no way Deadpool came out if it wasn't rated R. Because it's just a waste of time and no one would care. And now we have confirmation, according to Ryan Reynolds, it is rated R.
Yeah, it's still one of those are they, aren't they kind of things. You know, Ryan Reynolds has said, you know, a PG-13 Deadpool would be lame. Of course, it's going to be R-rated. And then you have other people saying, no, we have to keep PG-13 to make everyone happy. But, you know, it's still kind of no one has come out with an official ratings. And, of course, until the movie board takes a look at it. We can't know what the rating would be. Maybe you get a couple of nice people in there who know what they're doing and understand that it's okay to say a swear word every once in a while or whatnot. But
get a little violent, whatever.
Yeah. Movie rating board though is
they're
wacky.
It's fickle. It's weird, right?
Yeah. Have you guys seen that documentary? This movie not yet rated.
Yes.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
It's a great movie.
Yeah. Fascinating. The Trey Parker Matt Stone stuff was the best. Like the best. Although I kind of can't get out of my mind the horrible things I saw puppets do in that. But amazing their thinking, you know, like, let's do the worst thing so that when they cut that out, we still get the stuff we wanted that they would have cut out. Like, it's it's such a manipulative little weird freaking stupid thing that that whole rating system is so jacked.
It is available on Netflix and other places, but this film not yet rated. An excellent look at the movie rating industry.
Yeah, not for kids, though, just for you.
No. Yeah, definitely.
Here's the thing, though. What was I going to say about this? Oh, I feel like probably at some meeting somewhere, somebody said, well, what about Kick-Ass? And somebody said, oh, yeah, that first one made a bunch of money. You know, so clearly there's an audience for a hero movie that is a little bit edgy and blah, blah, blah. And I'll bet you that had that played into it. In other words, I don't think in a world without Kick-Ass being successful that this may have gone through.
Well, I don't think you're going to see, you know, graphic nudity or sex. I think it's all because of the violence and the language.
Yeah.
And, you know, this this week, Daredevil drops and it gets a little violent. And if people eat that up, then I can see how that might help the Daredevil or the Deadpool decision.
There's that thing in the trailer where Matt Murdock is like lifting himself out of the water and he's got like a ton of blood coming out of his mouth. And
yeah.
And that's hardcore, man. That's next week. This week? Next week.
No,
this
the 10th. The 10th. Yeah, Friday.
Dude, I'm so excited.
Just erase your weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. While you're sitting there waiting to pre-order your Apple Watch, watch Daredevil.
Yeah,
I'm not getting the Apple Watch.
Me neither. Brian's in a Brian, I think, is in a new form of not minority, but I think there are less people jumping on this thing than they would a normal Apple product, because I think it's not because it's Apple. It's because it's just people aren't sure about watches.
It's
yet.
Very specific. Yeah.
So I am stoked.
It needs to be a third iteration for me.
I'll even say second. But I what I really am looking forward to is Brian having one, talking about it on here. And really giving us the what for.
I forget, insane. One of you guys were going off, was it the Mini? Which one of you had the Mini first, the iPad Mini?
Me.
And because you were talking about it so much, I was like, God dang it, I guess I got to go get one.
I think it was me, and then Brian, I think. I'm not sure about that, but Brian ended up losing his, so we talked a bunch about that.
Yeah, I think
No. I know what it was. What? iPhone 6S.
Oh.
Oh, the, yeah.
Yeah.
Six
I was
plus.
Gonna wait. Yeah,
six
the plus.
Plus. Yeah.
I was gonna wait a whole extra year, and then you guys started talking.
Then it was probably me talking about just how, oh my god, the screen real estate. Who needs an iPad Mini when you've got the 6 Plus?
Yeah, yes,
exactly.
I went back to a full size iPad when I get the 6 Plus.
It almost makes sense to do that, right? We like to call it the Duke, everybody. The 6 Plus, it's the Duke.
It is the Duke. Yeah.
Well, Steven, it's always fun talking about stuff.
Oh, thank you,
do you have anything going on right now that you want to mention to the fine
folks?
Oh,
no, we're just looking for more people to sign up to become VIPs and support everything that we do over at Major Spoilers. And if you like what we do, then we could use your support.
Yes, find great things at majorspoilers.com,
yep.
I always say. Major Spoilers on Twitter. Steven, have a great week. We'll see you next time.
Hey, talk to you later, guys.
Bye now.
See you.
It's always good talking to Steven. He really is one of my favorite segments. Dude's pro, man. Knows what he's doing. Knows the flow of good radio, like all that
for
stuff.
Sure.
Don't give him enough credit.
Good
right.
Man, that Steven.
Let's bring in a fine lady, that Veronica. Now,
that good woman, that Veronica.
That woman, yeah. She is a fine woman. Sounds derogatory for some reason, but I don't mean it to. But yet somehow it does. All right.
Not at all.
You don't think?
No, I mean, we're calling her.
She's a good woman, right?
Yeah,
a good woman. It's just that I think of you, Veronica, as like a sister, and so it's weird calling
it
you a woman.
Where is this coming from? I don't listen to your show before you guys call.
I know. That's why you're so.
We said, good man, that Steven Schleicher. And I said, and then he says, and now we have Veronica. He said, good woman, that Veronica.
And it just sounded weird
good,
coming out.
Good, sturdy woman, that
Veronica.
Yeah, Belmont.
Good, sturdy.
Good, solid woman.
Solid woman. She'll make your meals and take care of your kids and all those stupid old ideas. But anyway, it's just because you're, I don't know, I just don't think of you. You're just like one of us, so I don't. I don't think of you as a well as like a woman.
I don't think of you as a woman.
It's just
a
weird
God,
word.
Scott, you were digging yourself in so deep
it's
right
too,
now.
It's too mature sounding. I don't know. I need more fart jokes and hot farts.
I am a grown ass woman, Scott Johnson.
All right, grown ass woman. That I can go with. Grown ass woman. I like it. You were so shocked at me saying shit last week that I still think that's really funny.
Anyway.
Veronica is here. Oh my gosh, Veronica Belmont, a frequenter of the show, comes on Mondays, talks about what's going on in the world of video games. We always look forward to
games.
It. Yeah, video games. What's going on this week? What's happening?
People are mad because of Oh, this is actually, yeah, the new Dragon Age, you know, the new Dragon Age game.
Yeah.
No, the DLC delay for certain consoles and platforms is getting people getting their feathers ruffled. Have you talked about this at all?
No, but so my understanding is, and correct me if I'm wrong, but the like PS4 version, which outsold Xbox One's version by a good amount, is not getting it for a considerable amount of time. And I don't know that they've ever been clear as to why. Is there some deal that was made or what's happening?
Yeah, it was an exclusivity deal. And so it's coming out where is it coming out? Where I just lost it. Gosh, you guys, I've been so tired.
It's all right. You've got a lot to do. You're a grown ass woman. It's hard to do.
I know, I'm a grown ass woman living a grown ass woman life. But it's coming out in May. Yeah, it came out for the Xbox One and for PC already, so you can already get that if you're playing on those platforms, which I did. I played on PC. This is for the Jaws of Hakon. I hope I'm saying that right. I haven't actually heard anyone say it yet. So.
Sounds good to me. I'd never get it right. Have you tried it? Have you downloaded it and checked it out or what?
I haven't yet. I'm probably going to, though. I felt like there was I felt closure at the end of the game, and I played so much of that game that I've kind of moved on mentally, but because I kind of went back into WoW after that. So now going back to Dragon Age feels strange at this point. I wish DLCs came out faster. Like, I know that's kind of, against the whole point of a DLC. It's to kind of bring people back into a title after they've, tired of the main storylines and they've kind of done everything.
Sure.
You know, suck them back in. But I don't tend to go back to a lot of games via DLC. You guys play DLC for most of your games, right?
Yeah, I mean,
Some.
Like, Brian, what name the last DLC package you bought?
The Hearthstone Naxxramas is DLC.
Yeah, you call it DLC, sure.
I did buy the Destiny stuff, and I haven't played it, and that's just sitting there. So, I mean, it fits for both sides of the coin for me on DLC.
Yeah, I don't do it very often, honestly. I feel like this could be just generation I grew up in or the kind of games I like to play or whatever, what I'm used to, or maybe it's just a bad bias on my point or part, but I kind of avoid DLC. When it's packaged as something like that Hearthstone stuff, like the new one, Black Rock Mountain, it's like, oh, it's a new chunk of single player experience that sounds great into this already existing game that sort of just persists, which is already free to begin with. So to me, it's not quite the same. So I don't look at it the same. But when somebody comes out and says, all right, yeah, Battlefield Hardline is going to have all of this DLC, I just kind of go, yeah, I'll play your main game, but I'm not.
Yeah,
I'm not.
Well, if they come out with it right when they come out with the game and say, we're holding this back to kind of hold it hostage for you to spend a little extra money after you've bought the game. Yeah. I think that's one thing versus, no, we've been working on this for the last 6 months. We want to keep our game fresh. We want to keep introducing new content. Then I'm a big fan of DLC. Yeah.
You know, I tend to, if they are, when you initially buy a game and they're like, and if you buy this limited edition version, you get the DLC for free included, or you get all this special stuff. I'm way more likely to pay money up front at the point of purchase when I'm first buying a game than I am to go back and buy DLC later.
Mm. Yeah,
I don't know why. I think it's because I'm excited. I'm so excited about the game at that point, and I'm like, oh yeah, I really want that special mount, or I really want that extra suit of armor that comes with it, or this extra quest line that I'm able to do right off the bat. Like, I like stuff like that.
I grew up with expansion packs, and I feel like that to me had a connotation of quality, almost as much stuff as the first game. You're going to pay a little bit more, but man, you're getting really, you're almost getting a sequel. Like, if you bought StarCraft in 1998 and then you picked up Brood War later that year, you were getting a truly awesome, new experience. Whereas DLC these days, it's like, oh, well, for $10, you get 3 maps and a thing or, whatever it may be. Those kinds of DLCs, they just turn me off because I feel like they're giving me B material. It doesn't feel like it's really part of the main thing. They also can't make it too much part of the main thing, because then players who don't want to spend the extra money are going to
get mad.
Yeah, going to get mad. So they have to make all these concessions, and I feel like it just should be outright, brand new content. In the case of this, though, this particular game with Dragon Age, that's different, though, because at least potentially, and I don't know enough about the expansion or read any reviews, but potentially what you're getting is a whole bunch more of what you already loved about the first game. That means more content, more story, more voice, more whatever.
It seems like people don't love it, though. Mm. That's it's $15, which I think is a pretty good price point for this kind of thing.
Sure.
But some of the reviews that I've seen are like, I've been avoiding them because I want to stay away from spoilers in case I do actually go ahead and download it.
Yeah.
They're not great. So I'm a little concerned that maybe they dropped the ball on this, which is too bad because the game was so highly reviewed and so beloved. I know I threw down like 150 hours in that game.
Yeah.
So I might give it a try. But how do you feel about them doing these exclusive DLC release date kinds of things where it comes out for Xbox One and PC, but it's not going to be available for download on PlayStation 3, PlayStation 4, or even the 360 until May?
Well, it's the problem with it I have is that it's when it bleeds into DLC. So I understand it with like full release of a game. All right. So Microsoft paid to have Titanfall. And that was going to be their game and nobody else's for that first game. That was their exclusive deal. Titanfall 2, multi-platform, everybody gets it. Or timed releases like, the Tomb Raider game, the new one. Mm-hmm. That thing's going to come out on Xbox first because they paid to make a deal to do it. And then down the road, you'll get it on other platforms. It's kind of like PC just now getting GTA 5, even though there wasn't really a deal made there. But I'm okay with those. It's when the DLC comes out. We've all gotten the game now. Everybody's
played the game.
It.
We all love it.
Yeah, everyone loves it now. Then to keep playing that weird game with consumers, I feel like is... I don't even blame EA as much as I am Microsoft, or in the cases when Sony does it. They all do it. But when they do it, they're kind of saying to us, you know, they're saying to the user, well, I guess they're saying to their base, hey, look what we got for you exclusively. But it doesn't really do anything for those who may be on the fence about whether or not they should buy your console. Like I feel like it just pushes them away and makes them pissed. So I don't like it for DLC especially. And I know Call of Duty's done this for years with their expansion content. Mm-hmm. Xbox first, PlayStation later. Fine. People are kind of used to that one, so we kind of ignore it. But I think it's a bad trend. And to see this keep happening,
yeah,
it's just
can't imagine.
Really annoying.
I can't imagine this would make anyone buy a Xbox One over a PlayStation 4 just for DLC.
Right, I mean,
no one's going to say like, oh, well, I'm going to get the DLC 2 months earlier for Dragon Age for this $15 thing I'm going to buy. I'm definitely getting that console, brah.
No, exactly.
Right. If they have to consider the purchase of the game as well in there. And if they've already bought the game, then they're kind of committed to waiting.
Then they're
going to
be super pissed. Because like I bought it on PC or whatever it is. I bought it on PlayStation 4. I can't get it for 3 months after everyone else got it. Well, F you, EA. So then it just breeds this hatred, more hatred for EA. Like if I were EA, I would just start doing things that don't suck.
Put it on my tab, I guess. We're EA. Everybody hates us. But also you guys like our game, so...
Put it on our tab. Our hate tab. But they're just such dicks about it sometimes. I just want to say to those guys, look, you could just earn so much like groundswell, grassroots level love from gamers if you just stop doing this a little bit. And you see other companies go through this. You know, everyone hates Microsoft for a long time, and now they're doing things that make people go, oh, I kind of like what they're doing right now. These are nice pro-consumer things that they're trying to do with Windows 10 and, you know, giving it for free to everybody and, you know, just kind of making these gestures that say, look, we realize we've been a little draconian in the past. We're going to change that. I swear EA doesn't even feel that ever. They never feel it. And they have great games. They have big money. They have great games. They make great content. But my gosh, they're just so slow to see like the damage, the long-term erosion to their base. It's just crazy to me.
It's true.
Anyway, look at me getting all worked up.
I like it. I like fiery.
Yeah, fiery Scott. Kind of a rare thing. Ladies and gentlemen, it's always fun to talk to our grown-ass woman contributor, Veronica Belmont.
That's how you have to introduce me from now on.
From now on, that's it. Do you have anything cool happening that you'd like to mention this week?
Well, Tom's not here to yell it at me, but as always, swordandlaser.com, sci-fi fantasy show of... I was feeling it.
Oh my gosh, I was feeling it. That was weird.
Yeah, so every week we've got a book club episode. We're reading Weird Sisters by Terry Pratchett this month. So it's a fun short pick. So if you guys want to hop in with us, discuss the book, listen to the show. We always have great author interviews. It's been wonderful.
It's nice to see all this love for Terry Pratchett lately from your show and from other shows I listen to that cover this kind of stuff. And there's some tabletop games coming and just, big outpouring of like, oh, man. He made some really great stuff, and he'll be missed. So that's
cool. We're all just citizens of Discworld at the end of the day.
That's right. Don't forget it.
Don't forget it.
Veronica Belmont, Veronica on Twitter. You all know that. You're all following her. Veronica, have a nice day. We'll see you next time.
You too, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye now. All right, Brian.
Very good.
Brings us to our next segment.
Okay.
Where we do some calls.
Yay.
And here,
you
got a...
You called us.
I got a thing for that.
You've left us messages.
Send and receive email.
Well, in this case, they're not emails. They're calls, because I'm trying to get through a bunch. We got a bunch lately. Those calls come to us at 801-471-0462. Let yourself be known. Let yourself be heard. Keep it short. Keep it interesting, and it'll get played on the show. Here you go. Or you can email us, themorningstream@gmail.com. Both your attachments and your emails are welcome. Here's our first call. This is from somebody in South Carolina defending their fair state.
So on Thursday, we were hating on people named Chad and saying they can't be president. Well, Scott, this is Chad from South Carolina. Yes, the very same South Carolina you were ripping up on Monday. Oh, you love Wilmington. Everybody freaking loves Wilmington. Wilmington's great. It's barely even on the state of North Carolina. Dawson's hair still blows, yo.
That's great.
Love that.
Don't make a Southern man angry, really.
I guess not Chad, anyway. Sorry, Chad.
Yeah.
President Chad of South Carolina.
Yeah, I don't know why your call is so quiet, though. I'll boost that up next time. Okay. We got another one here from... Oh, it's just a bad joke. Here you go.
Oregon here. On Thursday, during Stump the Trek Nerd, you were discussing the bridge bathroom, and I came up with a truly terrible joke. Why did the android go to the bridge bathroom? To take a data dump. I'm so sorry for that.
You should
be. Up the torpedo.
This is terrible, dude.
Get back. Hey, Thorgan, get back to making some awesome vodka fusions.
Yeah, you slacker ass.
Yeah.
Here's Brian making a sound. Alright, and then here's our final call. Oh, I should have played this while Steven was here. Steven, if you're still listening, this is for you, buddy. So check it out.
Hey, good morning, Scott, Brian. This is Chris in Philadelphia calling for TMS. Just wanted to let you guys know, as much as you pick on Patrick for his really, really, really comments, you gotta take a look at Mr. Slyker, because him and his yeah. It's driving me bonkers out here. And you got to show, you know, give credit where credit is due. He says, yeah, an awful lot. And you guys never catch him on it. Just wanted to bring it up. God, I love your show, though.
Okay. I'm not that cognizant of him saying, yeah.
I'm unaware. I mean, I can think of that. That sounds like a Steven thing. Yeah.
Yeah,
like, you know, I can hear him saying it.
If I said, like, oh, you mean Batman and Robin? Yeah. He could say that.
Right. I'll bet he does. Yeah, I bet somebody could do a little mashup of Steven's yeah. Maybe he just really likes Karen O.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe that's the thing.
Here's,
and for a while, I was getting lambasted for my overuse of the word absolutely.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah, you got the absolutelys going. That's true.
There's an absolutely mix somewhere out there.
Somebody's probably got one for me right now. What is it? What am I saying too much, everybody? Tell me, because I have no idea.
Well, for a while, it was on the whole.
Oh, I was saying that on the whole. Not on the whole. On the whole.
On the whole, yeah. On the whole, I'd much rather...
In the hole.
On the whole.
Yeah, I did say that a lot.
We've all got things.
Bottom line is, I say that a lot. Bottom line is, things like that.
Bottom line is, yeah.
Tom says... Wait. Oh, never mind. I thought Tom just texted me something that was from last week. Never mind. here's a quote of Steven saying what he says all the time. Here you go.
What's an ass pass bomb?
Well, that doesn't sound like yeah at all.
I know. Boy, if he keeps figuring out a way to bring that up every single time we talk to him.
It's unbelievable. Oh, geez. Why is that playing? Sorry. That's going to do it, everyone. Those are our calls today, and there are no emails because that's all we had. Thank you for being here and listening. If you'd like to submit again, 801-471-0462. Submit to us! Submit.
You must submit.
TheMorningStream@gmail.com. On the web, we're at frogpants.com/TMS. All our subscription hoo-ha is all right there. So go check that out. 801-4...
Did you do that on purpose?
I always say hoo-ha, but I can't help it. I know people
Jester just pointed that out in the chat room, that you always say hoo-ha.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I didn't read it.
And not 5 seconds later, you say it.
Oh, and I do say you're not wrong a lot.
Yeah.
And I say, you know what else I notice I say a lot lately is I say, you know what's up. I say that a lot.
Right.
He knows what's up. I'll say that.
He knows what's up. He knows the score.
One? I really didn't mean to say hoo-ha. I didn't know he said hoo-ha in there. That's funny.
That's really funny.
I do say hoo-ha quite a bit. I substitute it in for many things. A lot of people think it means vagina, but.
Mm-mm. Well, not always.
Hey, Zeladir, I just wanted to let you know, I did have one more lockup, and I think it was because I turned on screen sharing again. I think we may have found the booger. I think it's screen sharing. I think it was a combination of screen sharing and then where my second screen was plugged. And anyway, you know how stuff, the weird shit is always weird. But I think it was only after Carter set up screen sharing so she could take calls while I was doing the NVIDIA stream over the weekend. And after that, we had our first lockup. First one since last time that I turned it off. So I think that's it. And I haven't had any problems this morning. Zero. No issues. Jeannie says, congrats on saying vagina without singing it.
Vagina!
I do like doing that, too.
Yeah.
He poked. He's got poked in the vagina. All right, that's it. I guess that's it. Brian, we're on Twitter. Coverville, Scott Johnson, Morning Stream. And Coverville should be happening this week, regardless
It'll
of trip and all that.
It'll happen this week, won't happen next week. Okay. I don't know what it's going to be this week, but we'll Wednesday when we do the morning show.
Yeah, we'll hit that on Wednesday. Everything's fine. I'd hit that. I guess that's it. Let's get the hell out of here. Do you have music to play at the end?
I do.
Oh, good.
Do. Brian wrote in.
What?
Not me. Different Brian. Okay. There's others. All right. Said, so I'm a bit of a baseball junkie. That should be the first clue that it's not me. Mm. And though I have some fun writing about statistics and such in the winter, it will be great to start a new season, especially for us Royals fans. In honor of opening day, I was hoping Brian, great name by the way, Mr. Ibbett, could find a cool Take Me Out to the Ballgame cover. If that doesn't work, maybe a cover of just one of the old-timey songs like Willie, Mickey, and the Duke. Thanks. Signed, Brian.
Nice.
Yeah, today's opening day across America. The Rockies, I think, are playing the Brewers, something like that. But we have our own opening day, our home opener, which will be Friday, and I will be downtown for that as I am every year. We don't go for the game. We go for the crowds and the fun and hanging out down there with just massive crowds of people, which seems like something I wouldn't like, but...
I hate massive crowds, but if there's an energy to it, I get where you're at.
There's a really fun energy. Yeah,
I get that.
So doing that Friday.
Cool.
So how about a cover of Take Me Out to the Ballgame? This one is performed by Steve Goodman, and it's from his 1994 anthology album called No Big Surprise. Originally done by Jack Norworth, or written by Jack Norworth, performed by Albert von Tilzer. Here is Take Me Out to the Ballgame.
Excellent. We'll be back tomorrow with a brand new show, I think. Yeah, everything's good for Tuesday. I don't know why there's some confusion about the dentist, but I still think we're having a full week without any change, so...
Good deal, because I've got 10 songs picked out.
Yeah, I don't want to screw that up. I like 11, it when you do that kind of thing.
11 songs, actually.
Holy shite.
Yes.
11 songs!
11 songs. I don't know how it's going to happen, but it's going to happen.
Nuke.
All right, great.
<duds.
laughs> Here it is, then. It's Take Me Out to the Ball Game. We'll see you guys tomorrow on a brand new show. Thanks for being here, especially you, chat room. Goodbye, Kat. See ya.
Take me out to the ball game. Take me out to the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack. I don't care if I never get back. So it's root, root, root for the home team. They don't win, it's a shame. It's 1, 2, 3 strikes you're out at the old ball game. Take me out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack. I don't care if I never get back. It's root, root, root for the home team. And if they don't win, what else is new? And it's 1, 2, 3 strikes you're out at the old ball game. Play it, Jethro.
Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
What in the hell is going on out there?
I don't know.
No, Rizzo.
Jeez, Rizzo.